Hey there, you're listening to What the Riff? Join us as we remember the great rock and roll hits from a month between 1965 and 1995. We're going to riff on all things about the bands, the members, and the goings-on during that time. We hope to inspire you to find and download the songs you hear today, whether you're fans who forgot about some of these tracks or maybe never even heard them before. Check out our blog at whattheriff.com or follow us on Facebook at What the Riff. Here's a shout out to our sponsors, Right Column Financial, offering CFO and bookkeeping services for small business, Stanton Electric, a commercial electrical specialist, and Marbury Creative Group, a brand development agency that helps companies tell it better. So let's turn up the volume and enjoy this episode of What the Riff?
The U.S. government sends 9,000 soldiers to Vietnam. 15 to 25,000 demonstrate against the war in Vietnam in Washington, D.C., and Walt Disney launches Epcot Center. The year is November 1965, and we're What the Riff. I'm Bruce.
I'm Wayne.
I'm Rob.
And I'm Brian.
And Wayne, I believe, is bringing us this soulful album. What have you got, Wayne?
Yeah, we're a little mellow out. We'll pick it up. But I really, really enjoy this band, and obviously the lead singer of this band. So out of Detroit, guys, this is The Miracles. And this
Smokey.
Album is Smokey Robinson and The Miracles. It's the first time he was considered the head of this group. Everything else before now was considered The Miracles. And then Smokey Robinson, until he left in 1970, and reverted back to The Miracles.
Hmm. So this is the first album you're saying that Smokey Robinson was pulled out of The Miracles and identified as Smokey Robinson and The Miracles.
Yeah, sort of like cool. Dinah Ross and The Supremes and that stuff.
Cool.
The album is Going to a Go-Go. The first song is Ooh Baby Baby. And this is one of those songs that's just basically Smokey Robinson wrote this. And he said that, you know it's sort of one of those things of a guy who cheated on his girlfriend, but he was really, really liked his girlfriend a lot more than cheating on him, and so he's just basically begging to get back with her.
Who's the lady singing?
Oh, that's a good thing. That's actually, believe it or not, Smokey Robinson's wife, Claudette.
Really?
She was part of the band. That was one of the surprises when I was researching this, is that she was part of the band. She was a friend of a relative of one of the other guys in the band, and she had a good singing voice, so they asked her to join. This was in the late 50s.
Uh-huh.
And so now she is part of the Miracles. So it was unusual to have a woman in an almost all-male group. There was Ronald White, Pete Moore, Bobby Rogers, and Marv Tarplin were the other members of the band. So I thought that was really unusual. I couldn't have handled that. She left probably not too long after this album to stop touring with them. She still sang on the albums. And then when Smokey left, she left also. Smokey became vice president of the Motown Record Corporation, because Motown, this is the first group on Motown.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I knew this was either the first or one of the very first, because Smokey played a big part of Motown.
Yeah. Well, Berry Gordy was the owner of Motown, and he discovered the group after he saw that Smokey Robinson had a notebook full of songs, over 100 songs already written. I'm talking about in the 50s.
Right. Wow.
And so, I mean, they have tons of songs. We can't even go through all the ones. This is one of my favorite songs by The Miracles.
Mine too.
The what song?
I'm so glad that Linda Ronstadt wrote this for us.
Rolling Stone magazine has this number 50 of the top 500 greatest songs of all time.
Really?
Yes.
The Track of My Tears.
Yes.
Oh, man.
No, I have to... In all seriousness, I do have to give credit to Linda Ronstadt, because she did a wonderful cover of this song.
Oh, yeah. Well, she did a cover of the first one, too, didn't she?
She sure did.
Yeah, well, the first one was number 266 on the 500
famous, really?
Yeah, all-time songs. But this song is just basically putting a good face on a breakup, you know?
Yeah.
You're going to be stoic as heck. I've gone through that. And just being stoic, just trying to not have to, show any emotions. but you can just see the tracks of your tears.
Well, you never show emotions anyway.
That's what she said.
Oh. No, Smokey Robinson is definitely has this. Anytime I hear it, it's a staple for me. I don't even have to ask questions. I know who it is.
I got a chance to see him in about 95 or 96, and just, you know, what a voice, but also what a show presence, you know. Yeah. He's fantastic.
I saw Smokey Robinson in the 80s. Mm-hmm. He was on his own then. He wasn't with the Miracles. A friend of mine, Linda Garrison, she got us great tickets because she worked at a place, believe it or not, back in the day, the clothing stores would sell tickets to things. I forget what clothing store she
really
worked for. But she was able to pull aside some tickets and invited me to go. And I said, heck yeah, you know. He still is out touring. So if you get a chance.
Is he really?
This is a guy you need to go see. I'm sorry. We talk about it. He's probably, you know, only got a limited more years left to tour. So go out and find Smokey Robinson. Do it. I don't care if you got to go to Las Vegas to go see him or something.
He won't be around forever like Keith Richards.
Yeah. But listen to that voice. That voice is so great.
Yeah, he's very smooth.
Anybody know what his first name is? William.
I like Smokey better.
Yeah, I do too. You know how he got the name Smokey?
Smokey.
Uncle gave him the name. He says he loved cowboy movies, and so his uncle gave him a cowboy name, which is Smokey Joe, and that's what everybody called him until he was 12, and then he just dropped the Joe part. Huh. So his uncle just gave him the name because he liked cowboy movies.
Huh.
But his voice is kind of smoky.
It is. Yeah. I think that's one of the reasons that the name kind of sticks, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, this song is My Girl Has Gone. Basically, another one of those breakup songs. You know, just from the way the guy's talking, he's trying to tell somebody else, look, man, hold your head up, man. This is sort of like an answer to Track of My Tears. He goes, you know, don't give up. You know, give it one more try. Just, you know, just keep on pushing on that.
Yep. Don't give up.
It's interesting that Smokey was inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame without the Miracles. And it really caused a big dust up. And
I bet.
Wasn't until
I can understand that.
It wasn't until the Miracles, you know, were put in 2012 that that it kind of glossed over that part. But I thought it was pretty.
What was the rationale for that? Was it he was being inducted for his solo work?
Well, you got to remember he was vice president of Motown Records.
Okay.
He was the lead singer of this group. Mm-hmm. He was out on his own. He did a lot of stuff on his own. So it's sort of like a lifetime achievement award too.
Right.
And I don't know why they didn't include it. Everybody just basically was giving the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame hell,
you know,
about doing that.
I have to say the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is just more confusing than the college football playoff committee. I mean, it's like how in the heck are they making these decisions?
Yeah.
Who goes in when? It's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Well, all four of these songs were in the top 40 at the time through 65 and 66. So this is one of those ones. This was a powerhouse band. Really, if you look at it, they had 16 songs in the 60s that charted in the top 20. Over 50 of them were in the top 40.
Wow.
So this is how perfect. This would have, you think about it.
50 songs?
50 songs.
Wow.
This is, if the Beatles weren't around, if there wasn't this British invasion, it would have been, the 60s would have been the Miracles.
Yeah.
So.
Well, Motown in general, too.
Yeah.
I mean, Marvin Gaye and the Supremes and all those people.
Temptations.
Absolutely.
Smokey Robinson also wrote other songs for other groups in Motown. That's all. And, you know, My Girl was one of his songs, even though it wasn't done by him, by the Temptations. Mm-hmm. Get Ready, you know, People Get Ready. It's been done by several different artists, but that's another one. Now, we're going to kick it up a little bit now because, of course, we're going to have fun. And this kicked off a dance craze.
And, of course, this is written by Mick Jagger and Keith Richards, right?
Yes, indeed.
Well, no, they did redo this. This is an up-tempo dance song, and, you know, it's just basically, at the time, it was called a dance party, but you were going to a go-go party. So it's Going to a Go-Go.
All right.
The title song off the album.
And no offense to our Rolling Stones fans out there, I must say that I do prefer the Temptations version than I do this Rolling Stones version.
You mean the Miracles.
The Miracles, excuse me. Thank you, Wayne.
And they say, you guys ever, I always thought the Go-Go's were the places where sort of a strip bar type thing, or the girl
right.
that's up in the dance cages or something of that
with
sort.
With the super tall boots.
Yeah, exactly. So I thought that was, but this song caused that to kind of come up. So
well,
I don't
every time
know.
I think of Go-Go, I always think about
Whiskey
Mike Myers.
Go-Go.
Well, Mike Myers, what was it for? The Austin Powers.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
When he's in uh-huh. Swing in London. And that's a Go-Go. That's the impression I have.
Right.
Laughing, way they
exactly.
always
right.
had
exactly.
the girls kind of throwing the arms.
Yeah.
Well, this song and Track of My Tears actually were million sellers. So they were platinum songs, which is unusual for a 45 to go platinum. Now, you may remember some other songs, and we'll get into them maybe. They had The Miracles without Smokey had Love Machine.
Mm-hmm.
They had Mickey's Monkey, and I think we spotlighted
that
one before.
Yeah, we did a little take on that.
I Second That Emotion.
Yeah.
And my favorite, we'll probably revisit this, Tears of a Clown.
Yes.
To me, that is
Smokey
one.
Didn't sing that?
Yeah, he sang that one. No,
okay.
The first one, Love Machine,
okay.
was the only one.
Right.
Without that.
Some great stuff.
Yeah. Just an amazing voice.
Now, I can't say tons of groups, especially that British Invasion groups, all were pointing to the Miracles as influences. The Beatles, Hollies, Zombies, Rolling Stones, all these guys basically tried to mimic what was going on with the Miracles. And trust me, they have two greatest hits albums. I mean, come on. You can't go wrong without just downloading those and having a good time.
That's great, Wayne. Thanks for bringing that. So now we're going to go to our entertainment track, which brought to us by Right Column Financial. And what do we have
it
here?
It is Conback. Now, I remember seeing these in reruns, and I don't know what channel it is, but I'm still getting it, so I'm recording it. It was in black and white. Vic Morrow was the main star of this.
Uh-huh.
And it was really kind of a hard-nosed World War II half-hour show. It was in the early 60s when it started.
Mm-hmm.
It ended in 67, obviously, with Vietnam starting. It wasn't very popular to kind of point out to these things. But they did. It was a little hokey on some things, but they did get into the gruesomeness of some of the war. So I thought it was a kind of a cool movie to kind of, or TV show to check out. And it was going, going full blown at this time.
Yeah, so it was always in black and white?
No, it was in color. It flipped.
Okay,
it's like
yeah.
a lot of these.
Yeah, during this time, a lot of them did that.
Beverly Hillbillies did that, didn't
they? Now, was this show based on just any historical references? Or
not
was,
really.
Or
I
so
mean,
just
I remember I saw Robert Duvall as a German in one of these. I mean, it was. You see all these actors, the bit actors that you've seen in the future, but it was sort of like the Twilight Zone. You had that same turnover, but you had these group of guys, core group. Also on TV of November 1965, Days of Our Lives premieres on daytime TV.
Oh, Cindy's
like Sands of an Hourglass.
CBS broadcasts the first color football game between the Baltimore Colts and the Detroit Lions. Miss Goodall and the Wild Champions broadcast on CBS. It was watched by 25 million, and it brings Jane Goodall to international attention.
All right. Well, that was our entertainment track, and we're going to get on with our staff picks. And this one is being brought to us by
who's doing it?
Bruce.
This
Bruce.
Is
listen
mine.
To that. Listen to that sweet music, that sweet sound.
Little streets full of people. That give you. Where do you think this person is from?
Got to be Great Britain.
You got it. You got it. That's right. This is Everyone's Gone to the Moon by Jonathan King. Reminds me a lot. If you listen to the lyrics, it reminds me of Alanis Morissette's "Isn't It Ironic."
Oh, really?
Don't you think?
Exactly. So King wrote and sang this while he was an undergraduate at Cambridge. And he went on to become a record producer, a songwriter, entrepreneur. He was involved in a lot of different bands. He discovered a band in 1967 and gave that band their name. Do you know who that is? It was an early band called Genesis.
Oh.
So he also produced their first album From Genesis to Revelation.
Oh, really?
Yep.
This doesn't sound like Genesis to me.
Doesn't really sound like Genesis, does it? It's kind of a wistful sound. Kind of goes with the theme, with the miracles. A little different take on it.
Yeah.
But definitely has that British slant to it. And just a lot of references to you know, things being just a little bit odd, you know.
Sounds like a movie soundtrack, you know, something that could be in that. You have that violin back.
Yeah, it sure does. So there was some theory that Everyone's Gone to the Moon, that the moon was referencing a pub down the street, but that doesn't really work as well with the song as, you know, going to the physical place, the moon.
Yes.
Everyone's gone to the moon.
This could be done by one of the crooners.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I mean, I could definitely see
Bing Crosby.
Yeah, Frank
Sinatra.
Well,
and that's the age we're in. You know, Frank Sinatra was still on the charts in 65 and 66, so you still had some of that crooner influence at the time.
This is big music, big band type music.
Yep.
All right, we're moving on to our next stat pick coming from Rob.
All right, guys. I picked this song by the Yardbirds because it's so unwoke. This is called I'm a Man.
And they stole it from a nice blues artist.
They did.
Borrowed.
Do you know who it was? This is a cover. It was done by Bo Diddley in 1955. And of course, this is 1965. This is the Yardbirds, who were formed in London in 1963. The lineup featured Keith Relf on vocals, Jim McCarty as drummer, the guitarist Chris Dreja, and bass player Paul Samuel Smith. But there were three rock heroes that came out of this band. Do we know who they all three were?
Oh, yeah.
Jimmy Page is one of them.
Yeah.
Jeff Beck.
Yep.
Eric Clapton.
All right.
I guess we won that one, right?
Yeah, Eric. And apparently Eric was the first one that was involved out of the three. And he was getting tired of the commercial, you know, we got to keep everything under 3 minutes. So he actually recommended Jimmy Page. And Jimmy Page, you know, when he left, and Jimmy Page was like, it sounds too much trouble and strife going on. I don't know if I want to be a part of it. So he recommended Jeff Beck. Mm-hmm. And then eventually Page was part of it. But I thought this was good. I really was not familiar with this song, but it is. Like,
you're not. It's part of my. Wait, am I the only one that has this song in
their phone? You're
the
only one old enough. Listen to this line. All you pretty women, stand in line. I can make love to you, baby, in an hour's time. Now I'm a man. I spell M-A-N, man.
That sounds something that James Brown would say.
And there was a woman. I'm a Woman is another blues song that came out. I forget who did that, but there was like answers. That was the fun thing about these musics that at the time, you would do a song and someone else would kind of do an alternate of that song.
Yeah, thinking of yours. It would inspire it. They, you know, the songs that I know are Pour Your Love, Heart Full of Soul, Shapes of Things, and Over, Under, Sideways, Down, which I think we featured.
Yeah.
Right.
Relf and McCarty went off in 1968 to form Renaissance. And, of course, Jimmy Page went on in 1968 to form Led Zeppelin.
Yep. Man, they gave Jimmy Page all the rights to the Yardbird material.
So I just thought that was a fun one.
We're going to change it up a little bit here, guys.
What you got for us, Brian?
This is May the Bird of Paradise Fly Up Your Nose.
I almost picked this as the comedy song.
Brought to us by Little Jimmy Dickens. All 4 feet and 11 inch tall, Jimmy Dickens.
No kidding.
And now you know why they call him Little Jimmy Dickens.
How tall?
4 feet, 11 inches.
Well, there we have it.
May the bird of paradise fly up your nose.
Well, Brian, why the name of the song? Why is the name of the song this May the bird of paradise fly up your nose? Well, this was a reference used a lot by Johnny Carson.
Okay, yeah.
So they took that and inspired, but essentially, this was written by in 1965 by a guy named Neil Merritt out of Nashville. And basically, it's just put-downs that were uttered by Johnny Carson, as we said. But in the first verse, Dickens sees a beggar and proceeds to give him only a penny. And in the second verse, Dickens gets a call from his laundryman who returns $100 that Dickens says he left in his clothes. Well, Dickens gives him 10 cents to compensate him for the phone call.
Mm-hmm.
Then in the final verse, Dickens asks a cab driver to rush so he can catch a train. The driver is ticketed for speeding while Dickens stands by waiting for the change from his fare. It's just a jab at, you know, just people being cheap and just no good. So this song actually charted in the top 40. It's a crossover from the country. And it actually crossed over and peaked at number 15 on the Billboard Top 100. The ticket, I stood by politely waiting for my change. So that's basically just, you know what? See, you're such a cheap SOB. May the bird of
paradise
flap.
Now, I hadn't heard this song
knows.
Before I, you know, was researching for our comedy song. And I enjoy it. This is fun.
This is fun.
This is that pickup
I
country.
Thought it was a laugh track.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought about putting it that is too, but when I saw we already had one, I went ahead and grabbed it. So, but this one peaked for 18 weeks on the country top 100. So
I can see that.
It was a big hit back then.
It sounded country to me.
It's a fun song.
Great. Well, now we're going to take it all the way back to the man who started it this morning, and it's Wayne. What you got for us, Wayne?
Guys, I got a remake of a Bob Dylan tune. All right, don't throw stuff at me. I know how y'all like Bob Dylan.
Is he singing it?
No.
Okay, then. That's fine.
This is It Ain't Me, Babe by the Turtles. And it actually reached number 8 on it. It's basically, it's a woman asking a guy, you know, want somebody always to open the door, you know, always want to be there for them all the time. And Bob Dylan wrote it about a girlfriend, and he just says, look, man, this is a, it ain't me, you know, and everything. And I, you know, being single now, you know, in my 50s, you know, it kind of hits home. Because I can't say how many bios I've seen on the dating sites of women, and they're in their 50s, but they're still out there looking for their soulmate, their new best friend. They want flowers at every day. They want to dance. And it's like, look, I'm kind of past that.
It ain't me, babe.
It ain't me, babe.
So Brian Wayne is saying, it ain't me, babe. And the dates are saying, may the bird of paradise fly up your nose.
Well put, Bruce.
So the Turtles had quite a few hits.
They were a pretty big group. We haven't done the Turtles.
This is the first album, and this is their biggest hit off this album.
Oh.
So yeah, Happy Together is the number one song everybody kind of knows. I just wanted to do this. They started out with their spelling of their name with a T-Y, with the Turtles.
Huh.
You know, sort of spelling it sort of like how the Birds did, how the Beatles and things of that sort. But somebody just said, hey, look, you know, really, the Turtles, you're doing a bad enough knockoff of the Beatles.
No reason to change it.
Yeah, exactly. But they were all underage when they were performing this song. They had to get permissions from their parents to record for this. So that was kind of wild.
It's because people were smoking in the recording studio. Well, thanks, Wayne.
We'll get back to the Turtles later on.
Yeah. And speaking of later on, can you believe this is a short podcast?
We're
already at our laugh track or our instrumental, and this is going to be an instrumental.
Primarily an instrumental piece. This is Junior Walker and the All-Stars, and I believe they will name the song in just a moment. Let's see. There it is. The name of the song is Cleo's Back. It
Cleo's
is actually
back.
From a Is it a Broadway play? I believe it's it's from some type of a musical.
I like it. I mean, it got that saxophone going on and everything else.
You can't go wrong with the sax, guys.
I'm trying to remember where I've heard that riff he's playing. It's from another song.
Oh, I'm sure people stole
it's
it.
It's Golden Years. Golden Years by David Bowie.
You're right. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
He borrowed it, Rob. He didn't steal it.
He did steal that.
Yeah.
Well, we come back, try to pick up what we haven't hit before. But November 1965, top hits, Get Off of My Cloud by the Rolling Stones. A Lover's Concerto, which by the Toys. 1-2-3 by Lynn Berry. You're the One, the Vogues. And I Hear a Symphony, the Supremes. And also in November 1965, Arlo Guthrie, he got arrested in Massachusetts for littering. And you know what that resulted in?
Indeed. A 27 8x10 color glossies with the circles and arrows and the picture on the back, circles and arrows on the back, and a description on the back of each one telling what each one was.
The song was Alice's Restaurant. And
you can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant.
A couple of movies that came out, A Few Dollars More by Clint Eastwood. Dr. Goldfoot, The Bikini Machine, which was a knockoff of a 007 movie.
The Bikini Machine.
And Elvis Presley had Harum Scarum.
All right.
So they were making fun of 007 back then, even.
Yep. That's right.
Well, you've been listening to What the Riff. I'm Wayne.
I'm Rob.
And I'm Brian.
And I'm Bruce.
And this has been November 1965. See you guys next time.
Thanks for listening to What the Riff. We hope you enjoyed the songs we had on tap today. Please tell your friends about us. Check us out at whattheriff.com and follow us on Facebook. Special thanks to our sponsors, Wright Column Financial, Stanton Electric, and Marbury Creative Group. That's all for this week. See you next week on What the Riff?